Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lowe Tullis, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Well, welcome to Bonnaroo, Bonnaroo first-timers. I'm Brad Steiner, that's Barry Corder. I'm from WDOD Radio in Chattanooga. Barry Corder from the Chattanooga Times Free Press. Still rocking that written word, huh?
Still hanging on, man.
Still hanging on. All right. So this is a podcast by Bonnaroovians, those being us, for you, Bonnaroovians, Bonnaroovians being you. Podcast today dedicated entirely to Bonnaroo first timers. We did this last year with Bozzy, and then we got to roll with Bozzy as we got to Bonnaroo on site. We decided not to give you that interview because he was a total jerk. So...
Not my favorite.
Not our favorite. So if there are two episodes in the can that you probably won't ever hear, I just told you what one of them was.
Yeah, yeah.
This year, though, our Bonnaroo first-timers, I think we got a good group.
I'm really excited about this. This is probably the most action-packed one we've had, or packed one, right, with the most elements.
Okay. Yeah.
Put it that way.
A lot of stuff going on.
A couple of interviews. Got an artist interview,
yeah.
a listener interview, and then our own picks.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with my picks.
And a special guest at the end of the show, a surprise special guest, which is not really a surprise because it's listed in the liner notes. So either way, we're going to go through some Bonnaroo first-timers. We're going to get some of your first-time advice, first-time stories. We'll tell some of our own. And we're going to talk to a Bonnaroo first-timer in AJR. Adam from AJR gave us a few minutes to talk a few weeks ago. Now, I feel like a homer when I prop up AJR, much like I prop up repeat. But AJR, I can't tell you how great these kids are. For three brothers who just started making music in their house with their parents, and you know, they get a break and they go out on the road and they just do it. Not just do it, but they do it exactly the way that you're supposed to, by paying dues, by going to every radio station and then going back to all the radio stations again, over and over and over. They pound the pavement. They came to our radio station years and years ago. And I promise you, we get a lot of these. We get a lot of these artists that come by and I'm like, oh, who cares? I mean, Barry, look at the walls in here.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look at, surrounded. They're littered with artists you've never heard of. And it's because they stop by and we, you know, we give them respect and we let them do their thing and play stuff for us and we see where it goes. AJR just kept coming back. And those are the guys I really like to support. First off, they stumble upon a guy named Rivers Cuomo. Mm. And Rivers becomes a huge, huge fan of theirs. They come up with a song, Sober Up. And then they go to Music Midtown and 20,000 people exploding and losing their minds when they hear that song Week. You know, it's a really, really fun live show. And I was excited to see them on the Bonnaroo lineup because they're not necessarily a Bonnaroo band. They're not in Bonnaroo's lane, but they were the first call that I made to try and get on the show this year.
Right, right. You knew right away. And it seems like there's a theme. They sound a lot like another act that we like a lot. It might even be a guest or two on.
You want to expose the secret guest?
No,
later?
They were our guests last week. But what did we talk about? Be nice. Say yes.
Right.
Work hard. You never know. I mean, they probably didn't know that Rivers Cuomo was in their future.
No, not a chance. I promise you, when these kids came by like 5 years ago, I mean,
you, that wasn't what the one of their bullet lists,
right? Yeah. You could have confused them with like the math team at a high school. I just didn't know who. I was like, what are these kids doing? They just blew up, and their live show is so good.
Yeah, I love that. You and I both said that's one of the favorite things about this job is those discoveries, yeah, and finding people, and then watching good things happen.
So let's talk to Adam here in a second, but first let's get some Bonnaroo first-timer picks from Barry Corder. Who are you looking at when you go down the lineup? Somebody that's never been to Bonnaroo before that you want to see.
I'm not sure if they are also the very first Spanish act on a Bonnaroo lineup, but I'm going with Monsieur Perrine.
I'm sorry? Perrine. You're going to have to spell that for me.
Monsieur. Perrine. And the song is Bailar Contigo.
Okay. Barry Corder going deep right off the bat. Tell me about these people. What are their...
They are, like I said, a Spanish band. The lead singer, Catalina Garcia. When I was doing the research, I hit on several female vocalists, mm-hmm, and liked all of them. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I sat down and said my picks today are going to be female driven, but I was very happy with what I discovered. That's the beautiful thing about us doing this. I love discovering.
You have stumped me
again.
Now I don't pretend to be some sort of Bonnaroo, you know, historian. But when you said that it's the first Spanish... Now, they do some world music.
They do some world music.
They do a lot of world music.
Angelique Kidjo was there last year, who was awesome.
Get out.
I love her. I absolutely love her. And that was a don't-miss show that there were probably only a couple hundred people there, but it was great.
I'm pretty sure they've had Michael Kiwanuka there, but I mean, that's not really world music. But I'm trying to think, like, there's all kinds of stuff that they do in the solar stage that is in that vein. I don't know if I mean, they haven't had Pitbull, so I don't know who would classify as a Spanish artist.
And one of my picks last year was a French vocalist. For not being able to think of her name, but
well, look, I mean, there is not a show that I will remember more in my festival life than Sigur Rós at Hangout 3 years ago. I mean, you don't understand a word they're saying. There is something so unbelievably romantic and powerful to that, and I was mesmerized.
I think you're going to like this.
I need to expand a little bit and hear more of stuff like that, I think, when it comes to Bonnaroo.
That's kind of how I approach this. It's discovery, and not just a new act, but a new music, maybe, or something.
Yes, and a completely different sound out of my lane.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and make a wager now. I'm going to put some money down, and I want you to bet me straight up, all right? Mm-hmm. All right, $100. Go to that show. There's a guy dancing like this.
Like the...
Doing the noodle arms.
The noodle arms, yeah. The thing out in front of the insurance business.
He's
in the wind.
He's like one of those noodle guys in front of the cash loan place. Yeah, that's the noodle arm guy.
I thought the bet was going to be $100 that we couldn't get Brian Stone anywhere near this.
Not a chance. No, not going to happen. He's got way too many neighbors to visit and to play with in Spanish music. All right, I'm going to go with one of my first timers. I'm going to follow suit with Barry Corder and go with a female first timer. And this is the story. Actually, you know what? I have an idea. I'm not going to tell you anything about this artist. I'll give you the name. Cherry Glazer. I'm obsessed with this artist. I've loved every single thing I've heard. Sirius XMU, etc. By the way, Chris Muckley does a great job. If you're not a fan of XMU, please listen to that, because Chris Muckley does a brilliant, brilliant job as a tastemaker in this industry. So this artist, Cherry Glazer, Barry Corder, I want you to listen to this, and then I've got a question for you. Cherry Glazer, my first Bonnaroo first-timer pick. And here's my question to you, Barry Corder. Cherry Glazer is fronted by a girl named Clementine. How old do you think Clementine is?
Oh, wow. I don't know, but I like that a lot. I'm going to guess, early 20s?
Okay. Early 20s is exactly right. She's 21. But here's what's crazy. She's been the front of this band, really the only person in this band, since she was 15.
Wow.
She's already put out an album under Cherry Glazer. Stuffed and Ready is the latest one. And for a 21-year-old, her lyrics stopped me dead in my tracks. When I first heard that song, Daddy, when I heard her challenge the paternal nature of, I don't know, relationships in general, and... how the mansplaining culture is sort of being called out everywhere you go.
Yeah.
When you hear these lyrics, where should I go, daddy? Who should I, daddy? It's like, oh, do I need your permission here? Oh, this is what I need your permission. For a 21-year-old to sort of own that space is so cool for me.
Yeah, that's great. I can't wait to see that and listen to more.
And every one of her songs is sort of pushing those kind of boundaries and pushing those kinds of ideas. And I just couldn't be a bigger fan. My only fear, and I said this last year, I get neurotic about this stuff, especially when I get really, really excited for a band. I say to myself, oh my God, pull back. Don't get too excited because it may be Japanese breakfast.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed in that show. I couldn't have been more excited about Japanese breakfast. And then I went to Bonnaroo and I saw them on the Witch stage and they spent 35 minutes sound checking.
Oh, it was longer than that.
It was so frustrating.
Yeah, it was the whole set was sound check.
Yeah, so whole sound check.
It was really frustrating.
All right, so there you go. Cherry Glazer, my first pick. And then Barry Corder. You're going to have to say that name again. What was the other one you picked?
Monsieur Perrine.
Monsieur Perrine. Did I roll my R's correctly, by the way?
I don't know.
Okay.
We live in Chattanooga, Tennessee, folks.
So, here in a second, I want to talk to a Bonnaroo listener who went to the Bonnaroo for the first time last year. His name is Dustin. This is all about Bonnaroo first-timers. If you had a piece of advice, Barry Corder, for Bonnaroo first-timers, what would it be? What are you going to tell somebody if they have never been to Bonnaroo?
You are going to enjoy it. It's not what you think. Camping is a lot of, that's more than one. Just enjoy it. It's going to be a great time. Come with the right attitude.
Yeah.
That seems to be the...
Do you have a moment in your first year that you can't forget? Is there a moment that is just seared into your memory?
Well, the first year, yeah, I mean, to answer your question directly, I actually went there the first year because we got reports that the traffic was so bad. I didn't actually go and stay the whole weekend. I just went the first day.
Yeah.
And I remember...
And as a local journalist, that's a big local story for us.
It's a big, big local story. I, to be honest, didn't want to go. Thought I was going to be stuck in traffic. My mm-hmm. nightmare. Me and Tim Barber, our photographer, walked in, and immediately there was a bunch of kids sitting in a circle under a tree smoking or passing an inflatable bong around. And we looked at each other and thought,
Barry, don't judge me.
This is different.
This is a little different.
This is cool.
I don't like perpetuating the conversation about that type of culture, but I'm not going to lie, it is sort of the way that my first time went. I tell this story every year. I've never told it on the show, but I tell this story at camp every year. My first year was a total disaster. Mm. I swore I was never coming back. I hated everything about it. I was miserable. It was the year of the essentially the Great Flood, where the rain just was so heavy, it just destroyed everything around it. Cars were getting stuck everywhere. We couldn't get out. I had a straight up panic attack my second day. The heat got to me. The people got to me. The dirt got to me. I was just losing my mind and I had to get out. I just couldn't be comfortable anymore. And it all started because the first night at Bonnaroo, in year two, this might have been year two or three, they had nothing marked. There was no... Whatever you see in camp now, it's not even close to being what it was 15 years ago. So you get out into GA camping and you take one wrong turn. One wrong turn and you're going to be walking forever. Yeah,
people don't realize how big that space is.
And we weren't really doing totems then. I mean, there were some, but people now very smartly mark their camp with flags or, like us, a lit marquee. At the time, nobody was doing that.
You remember the year we had... So many people stopped by our camp to thank us.
Yes.
Because they were using our lighted marquee as their totem, their marker.
We didn't have those necessarily that year. So you make one wrong turn and you're gone. So we just, and all I remember is camp was forever away. I felt like I was walking for 45 minutes at least just to get to Cineroo. So we make the wrong turn and we just were walking, walking, and we're obviously going in the wrong direction, but we have no earthly idea where we are. And out of nowhere, and I hate telling the story because it makes it sound like it was the Wild West back then, but
it was.
On one side, there was something on fire. My brain says it was a car, but I think I made that up. But there was something on fire on the right. On the left, there was a guy on top of a bus peeing off of it. And then a girl, butt naked, ran straight at me, grabbed me around the throat, slinkied down my body to my feet, screaming, PCP! And it was... And so she grabs my ankle, and I literally have to, like, kick her off as I'm walking back to camp. That panicked me. And yeah. The whole Saturday was ruined. I didn't know what the hell was going on. All I wanted was out. And so we go to Rush Out after, I think, Dead and Company. I don't remember who was on Saturday night, but we go to Rush Out. It had just poured down rain for hours. We go to Rush Out in the car. We're, like, packing everything. We got to get the hell out of here. Just get me out. So we pack everything into the car, and as we're 20 yards from the exit, 20 magical yards from the exit of the worst 24 to 36 hours of my life, and the car gets stuck in the mud, and we can't get out because it's right in the middle of Dead & Co. or Dead & Company, or I don't know, it was Grateful Dead something, and nobody was around. Nobody was around to help us, and we were stuck. So we slept in the car, and we came to with a kid on a four-wheeler dragging cars out of the mud. We gave that kid $50 to take us 20 yards.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I don't have any real bad memories. When I mentioned the guys sitting under the tree passing the bong, I'm like you. I don't mean to perpetuate that. It was more that... It was just okay, you know, whatever you wanted to do. I'll give you, and I do know the first year that I was there camping, that I was officially there, and I've been every year since, the fountain, I went to the fountain probably on Thursday afternoon, and suddenly two girls and a guy are completely naked dancing in the water. And that was sort of eye-opening, of course. How it was handled was more the eye-opening experience. Mm. A girl suddenly showed up in a security t-shirt, kind of looked at him and said, you can't do that. Put your clothes on. That was it.
I love that. You can't really do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
She wasn't screaming, you know. She didn't come running like hair on fire. It was just...
I've never seen that once there. Never once. Never
the
once.
Screaming hair? No.
A panic security anything.
Nope.
I got a letter from... How old am I? We got an email from Drew. This is what Drew said about his Bonnaroo first timer. He said, I'm loving season two of the podcast so far. As tips for first timers, I have a couple I wish that I would have known about my first Roo in 2011. Bring shade. Bring an easy up. Tapestries, tarp, etc. for yourself and everyday use. Bring baby powder, sunscreen, baby wipes, hand sanitizer, and a cold towel. Apply the first two like it's your job.
I love that.
That is exactly right.
I love
that. Man, it took me years to come around on the baby powder. It is essential. It is so essential. You know, it brings me to the things that I thought were important at camp that aren't important. And the first one, we've said it over and over and over, Bonnaroo first timers, don't worry about food.
Right.
Now, I understand that there's a long, long trek to certain places, and a lot of people don't have money to spend at Bonnaroo. It's hard enough for them to buy the ticket. I get that. Don't overdo it. Make it very simple for yourself. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. If you're a meat eater, do ham and cheese sandwiches. Make it very simple on not only you, but your stomach.
Peanut butter and animal crackers, of all things. That was my staple for the first couple of years.
Yeah.
It's energy. It's quick. It's easy. You don't waste.
Yeah.
You know, you don't make a whole sandwich if you only really wanted a half type of thing. So that and hydrate. But there's water stations everywhere now. And there's food everywhere.
Food's
to your
everywhere.
Point.
Yeah.
Good food.
Yeah, great food.
And it's not overly priced.
The one thing that I didn't... So I overdid it with the food. My first year, I overdid it with the barbecue grill for some odd reason. Why in the world I would do that now? This is so stupid. But I'll tell you what I never, ever thought of was, especially in 2003 or whatever year it was, an easy up tent.
Yep.
Those are imperative. I mean, you cannot survive without an easy up tent. Now, I understand sometimes they're really crappy and they collapse or they gets rained on and destroys your day, like the guy at our camp last year.
Right.
But you got to find some way to protect yourself from the sun that is going to beat down on you for a good 8 hours.
That was the biggest change. We're pampered. We know that. We're in guest camping, which is now in the trees in the woods by the freeway. For the first several years, we were out in the sun. There was one tree in the entire parking lot, and that was first pick for everybody.
Right.
So, yeah, I was completely unprepared for that because it's all day in the sun.
Yeah, all day
in the
sun.
There's nowhere to hide.
Here's the other thing that I thought I would need, and I probably did my first year, and I'll tell you why you don't need to worry about it now. I was panic-stricken about bugs. I have a major, major fear of one insect, and it's such a fear I can't even say it out loud, right? It freaks me out. It was somebody found one on them years and years ago, and I about threw up. I was so scared.
Yeah.
But I overdid it with bug spray and mosquito spray, and it just coated myself in it the first year. And I think you probably needed to then. But we talk about this every year. Every year, Barry, we sit at Camp Nut Butter and say, you know what I never see? A bug.
It's kind of freaky.
It is really strange. There are no bugs.
I've seen five in the entire 15 years.
We're in the woods and there's no bugs. Not a mosquito in Tennessee. It's the only place in the entire state where there's no mosquitoes. How is that possible?
I don't know, and I don't know if I want to know.
I wonder if it's like that in GA. Does GA, do you get bugs out there?
I never see bugs anywhere.
I don't see bugs anywhere.
Even not at, you know, normally around here, especially the moths and everything are going to come to the light in the evening.
Oh my God. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Have you, think about it, Bonnaroo. Think about it. If you've been, have you ever looked at the lights? You seen any bugs?
There's no bugs ever.
I didn't even think about the lights.
I mean, they're so echo-friendly. I have a hard time thinking that they just crop dust that thing for the
thing. Then how do you explain
it? But I don't know, man. That's what I'm saying.
Now, the only exception to this was last year. We got in super early. It was like Wednesday afternoon. And the back area was pretty desolate. I mean, it was us and maybe 25 other people. And what comes scurrying past us at about 50 miles an hour at 20 yards away?
A skunk.
And
it didn't go away for a while.
It didn't go away.
That's probably the only panicked moment I've had there.
Well, yeah, because, you know, think about your Bonnaroo. You're just sitting there and a skunk is just hanging out.
Yeah,
what do you do?
A bad weekend.
What do you do? It's not like you can run it off.
Yeah, I wasn't going to.
No, you just got to sit there and pray to God it doesn't come your way. And it every move it made, we just kept saying to ourselves, oh God, here it comes.
Yeah,
here it comes.
Get in the car, get in the truck.
Yeah, for 2 hours we watched that skunk.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was going to make for a bad.
I will always remember a bug.
If that thing had done its thing, that's a long weekend.
Well, it wouldn't have been any different than how some of our campmates smell.
That's a good point.
Not going to change. All right, let's talk to AJR. AJR is going to be at Bonnaroo first timer. AJR making a debut appearance at Bonnaroo. Let's talk to Adam from AJR. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing super. I'm excited to talk to you again because I feel like my boys made it big. You were the star of the running of the Chihuahuas 3-4 years ago. And I feel as though that started the whole thing. That started the whole machine.
Definitely. It was definitely the turning moment in our career.
Right.
Well, this is Barry, Adam. Thanks for doing this, first of all. But that's my first question. On your resume, which is now higher? First time at Bonnaroo or running of the Chihuahuas in Chattanooga, Tennessee?
I'm going to go with the Chihuahuas.
That a baby.
So let me give a little backstory here. So years ago, the record label came to us and said something about a band that they wanted to bring by the radio station. And a lot of times, we don't know who they are. We don't really expect much. And then they said, no, you're going to love these kids. They're going to do really well. They've got a really great social media following. Adam, Jack, and Ryan, the brothers of AJR, stopped by. And I don't oversell. I don't try to bloviate too much in my life, but I've never had a better artist showcase show up at the radio station than AJR. They were amazing. I'm not saying that just because Adam's on the phone, but you guys were so phenomenal when you never really needed to be. You were just nice, you were happy to be here, and you treated everybody like they were your best friends, right? So that's a very important step. So then we called them again, like, hey, would you come back to town and do a free show at this thing called the Running of the Chihuahuas, which is this dopey event that I created years ago for my radio station, where I get 150 dogs to race, 150 Chihuahuas to race, and I also do music beforehand, and AJR was our big headliner. And you guys could not have been better. You couldn't have been more phenomenal. And yet the charm's still there. The happiness to be around was still there. And we thought, it was like, man, these kids are going to go somewhere. Now, then fast forward a couple of months later, and they're popping up all over the charts. Then out of nowhere, they've got a song with Rivers Cuomo. And now they're number one on alternative radio. And they're in front of 20,000 people at Music Midtown. I keep going back to this moment at the Running of the Chihuahuas, like, oh, yeah, they sat on my tiny little stage in the middle of downtown Chattanooga for, you know, 1,000 people. And now look at them.
By the way, Adam, he doesn't bloviate. So now it's your turn.
I mean, that first part of the story, first, thank you so much. I mean, that's really awesome to hear. And I mean, when we go and we visit these different places around the country and play shows, the number one thing that's most important to us is that we remain exactly who we are. There's no facade we're putting on. There's no different us on social media or in person than who we actually are. We're literally just ourselves. And we wouldn't want to be doing this if we needed to pretend to be somebody else. So thank you for recognizing that, and we're so appreciative to have had the opportunity to come in and play at the radio station and play at the Running of the Chihuahuas, because, you know, every show that we do, whether it's in front of 5 people or 5,000 people, is kind of preparing us and making us better and better, because, you know, the 10,000 hours dictum of just working and working and working, and you don't become an expert at something until you've worked on it for 10,000 hours.
Sure.
We are pretty close to that 10,000 hours mark of performing. And so we're really excited to be able to play huge festivals like this. I mean, even Music Midtown a couple of years ago, but now playing these festivals like Bonnaroo. And we started to find out what, like, time slots we're getting. And it's right as the sun is setting. It's like the ideal time slot. And we're putting together a different kind of show.
Yeah.
We want the show to be audience interactive. We want the show to kind of show how we make our music, in addition to just playing the songs that people want to hear.
I'll tell you what was pretty startling is watching you guys do stuff for the 5 people, and then when you stood on stage in front of 20,000 people at Music Midtown, how effortless it seemed to be, how comfortable you were in front of 5 people and 20,000 people. And oh, by the way, I hate to tell you, standing right next to me on the stage was Rivers Cuomo.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, you've got a little bit of pressure building when you've got Rivers Cuomo on one side and then 20,000 people in front of you, and you guys still acted as if you were in front of 5 people. That's got to just be repetition, or is it just inside you guys and it's just what you were born to do?
It's funny, because we started out street performing, and when you do that, you have to convince a crowd to be there that doesn't want to be there. That's the absolute hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
So if you're playing for people that actually want to be there, even just a little bit, it's so much easier, you know. And we grew up doing that street performing thing, trying to convince businessmen that were just running down the street trying to talk on the phone and just not listen to us.
Yeah.
We did that for so many years. And it's like that's something that kind of helped us to work on our performing chops. So when you're playing for 20,000 people that actually want to be there, it's so rewarding for us. And that day where you were standing next to Rivers, that was the first day we ever met Rivers. We did the whole collaboration over the internet. That was an amazing day for us.
So this is the story of AJR, and you can probably tell it better than I, and so feel free to jump in at any moment, but they have some middle-of-the-road top 40 success. And then you guys somehow get Rivers Cuomo's ear. Rivers Cuomo is a huge pop music fan, by the way. There's some really funny stories about him just meandering around Governor's Ball with GA passes because he just loves pop music for some reason.
Nice.
So he finds AJR, and I guess he reaches out to you guys and he gives you a track for Sober Up that you guys include in the chorus. And then all of a sudden, this thing blows up at alternative radio. Within like 10 weeks, you're at number one. You've got a number one single on your hands. And you're telling me that you hadn't even met Rivers Cuomo by then?
Yeah, it was really insane. I mean, we've been fans of Weezer for so long, and he followed us on Twitter just completely out of the blue because he was a fan of our single before that, which was called Weak. He was a big fan of that song. Mm-hmm. And so we just DM'd him on Twitter saying, thanks for following us. We're a huge fans. Would you ever want to do something together? And he said, absolutely. So we had the song Sober Up, except the bridge. The bridge was empty. And he sent us a bunch of different options for the bridge. And he writes songs in a very different way from anyone else that we've ever approached. He has an Excel document of all these different lines that he's excited about, and he kind of drags and drops things and puts them together. So he sent us four options. One of them was in Spanish. One of them was, I don't even think it was like actual words, but that's so Rivers. He's so out of the box and creative and different. And the fact that he sent us that line, "My favorite color is you," is just fits so perfectly with the song that we knew even just over the internet that this was going to be a perfect collaboration. And we've seen him a ton of times since. He actually he opened for us as a solo artist our LA show, playing an acoustic set, which was unbelievable. That was like one of the best nights of our lives, really seeing him play acoustic before we went on stage. And he asked to do it, and we said, of course. You know, right. How are we not going to say, of course?
You were talking about remaining humble and watching all this grow. How much of the fact that you guys are brothers plays into that? I mean, brothers have a good way of keeping the others humble.
Definitely. I think we wouldn't be where we are if we weren't brothers. And we each have our own very distinct roles within the band, both on stage and behind the scenes. Ryan produces everything, start to finish. We don't have any co-writers. We don't have any co-producers, anything on the album that we have coming up, and he produces everything. Jack is really great at melodies and chorus lyrics, and I do a lot of the kind of like behind the scenes business stuff, like helping put together the tours and the deals and things like that. And because we each have our own space that we live in, we don't step on each other's toes, and it allows everything to kind of move forward in a really strong way. We really trust each other, and I think that would only happen with brothers. We grew up in a tiny apartment in New York City, and we all shared a room for the first 18 years of our lives, so that kind of forced us to be close. We couldn't argue and then sleep in the same room for that long.
That's when one of you tries to get a little big for the britches, as they say. The other two are pretty quick there, right, to yank you back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's interesting. Did you guys know your strengths before you jumped into it, or did you just have to find your own way along the path? Did you know that you were better at business? Did you know that Ryan was better at producing, or is that just something that you guys just stumbled upon to make it work?
We stumbled upon it, and for years and years, we didn't have any support from the music industry. Like, we didn't have a label or management or anything like that. And so we kind of took on these different roles. And I mean, Ryan learned how to edit videos for our music videos. And it was just a skill that he said, okay, we need somebody to do this. And so we picked it up. We needed a bass player. And I had played piano before that. And I said, okay, we need a bass player. Let me pick up the bass and I'll learn how to play bass. It was very much, let's figure out what we need and how to divide up the responsibilities. And I think we approach our different kind of our roles in a very lucky way. Because if I had done the production, I probably wouldn't be nearly as good as Ryan is. And if he tried to do the finances for something, he would not be nearly as good as I am. So we kind of found our niches, and it just worked out really well for
that
us.
That is unbelievable, because I sort of think that that's where the music industry is going, it's not already there.
Absolutely.
It's guys like you and you know, maybe right before you, Shawn Mendes, guys like Shawn Mendes especially, not doing it on their own, and then everybody else coming along after they've figured it out. You know, you go to some of these indie alternative bands like, you know, Boy Genius. They figured it out on their own, and then it's going to be good enough. Somebody will come pick them up at the end of the day.
Definitely. We're approaching this new world of music where everybody has access to everything. So somebody who's never done this before can put a song out on SoundCloud or Spotify, and then it blows up the next day, and they don't have a team behind them. They don't have anything. So the fact that people can use the internet and different platforms to build up their own skills and figure out how to do this on their own. I mean, Chance the Rapper is a perfect example.
Right.
He now has a team, but he didn't even put his music on sale for the longest time. I don't even know if it's on sale now. But he doesn't charge for his music because he wants people to just participate in this music that he's making, and then they come to live shows.
Yeah.
And that right. music industry is definitely changing to that direction where people are taking on more and more of the role.
You mentioned Chance the Rapper. Chance the Rapper, the mayor of Bonnaroo, yeah. he is sort of like the grand marshal of all things Bonnaroo. Have you guys ever been to Bonnaroo? Have you experienced what Manchester holds?
We've never been.
So you had mentioned earlier that you were looking to do the show a little bit differently. What do you know about Bonnaroo, and what makes you want to do it that way? I mean, and I'll have a follow-up question about that, because that's kind of one of the things we hear people say. It's a little bit different festival, so what are you guys hearing about it?
We've just heard that it's, from a bunch of our artist friends, that it's one of the best festivals to do in the world. Like, everything from the way the artist compound is set up to, like, the audience there, that because of where it's located, that people from all over the country end up coming to it, and that it's a very different kind of festival experience. So, I don't know, I'd love to hear more about it if you guys have any recommendations how we should approach.
But Bonnaroo is exactly what they gave you an idea of, is that it is different than any other musical experience because, and we've said this on the show for a year now, it's because you are locked in. You don't have anywhere to go. It's a camping festival in the middle of Tennessee in the dead of summer. There's no place else for you to go but to immerse yourself in all things art and music. And the people that show up, they are dedicated because they've been there all day.
Yeah, they're committed.
And the artists that are there, they give so much more to the audience because the audience is giving them so much more from their experience. So it's the best avenue to experience not only new music, but art in general. It's the best showcase for you wanting to expand your territory and also probably simultaneously making your quote-unquote P1s, your diehards, happy as well.
Thanks so much. We're so excited to go, and we're excited to see you guys there, too.
You're playing on Friday. That means you start the festival out. Thursday is a discovery day. Friday is the day where people start to get going pretty hard. Do you know any time that you're playing on Friday? Do you know the stage you're playing on Friday?
Ooh, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to announce that. Ah. I don't know if it's been posted.
It has not been, but is it? You said it was in the evening, though.
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to have
sometime between 4 and 7.
Okay,
that's
so
all I'll tell you.
Most of the people will be in and their camp set up, uh-huh. and they will have, I mean, they'll start on Thursday because it starts earlier and earlier and earlier,
right.
But Friday's when it really blows up. Great night. You've got Fish, of course, that night, Childish Gambino, Avett Brothers is that night, Courtney Barnett. So, I mean, already, that's a great way to start the day.
Are you guys planning on staying the whole weekend?
I think we're planning on staying through Saturday, but okay. I'm pretty sure we have another show on Sunday that we need to get
Then that's my suggestion to you. Maximize as much as you can on the farm. And I'm excited to see what the new show holds. All luck in the world to you, and I can't wait to see you in Manchester. All right, buddy?
Thank you so much. We will see you guys in June. Appreciate it.
AJR, Bonnaroo First Timer, along with some of our picks for Bonnaroo First Timers. I chose Cherry Glazer earlier in the show. Who do you got?
For the next one?
And who was your first one, by the way?
The first one was Monsieur
That's right.
Perrine.
Yeah, I love testing Perrine. You to say
I know.
That. Now, I can't wait for you to try
I got
to
another
spell.
One, too.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear another Bonnaroo First Timer.
When you think of the sitar, what name comes
my
to
restaurant,
mind?
My restaurant, the restaurant we go to for Indian food?
The musical instrument.
Yeah.
What name comes
it's
to
Sting.
Mind?
Sting. Yeah, the only
Sting.
Person. Yeah, Sting.
I would have come up with Ravi Shankar.
No.
Anushka.
No, you think, no, there's two things here. You think, when you think sitar, you think of Sting. And when you think the bongos, you think of a naked Matthew McConaughey. This is easy.
We're of a different time era then. Ravi Shankar is the one who helped teach George Harrison how to play the sitar. But Anushka, I hope I'm saying her name right, Shankar, is Ravi's daughter. I have two picks with that are daughters of famous
is that right?
musicians.
You're keeping
this
in
is
the family.
First one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Anushka Shankar.
Well, you're really testing my spelling abilities today, huh?
She plays sitar, but it's a little more pop. What I heard. And she mixes it up. She is British born, and I like the music.
Yeah.
She's also very, very pretty.
More world music for you.
More world music.
Interesting.
All females. All three of my picks today are females. Yes. I guess, you know, you're pointing out last week that there have not been a female headliner.
There hasn't.
Sort
yeah.
of resonates. In
Interesting.
My head, so.
But here's the thing, and I'm not going to, well, actually, I'm going to save my point till after we hear this because I have something I'm going to challenge on. Well, hello, Nora Jones. Nice to see you again. It's nice to hear from Nora Jones with your second pick. What's her name again?
Anushka Shankar.
Okay. All right. So here's the only criticism I have about the first two that you've given me. Right. So the first one was what?
Monsieur Perrine.
Okay. And then the second was what?
Anushka Shankar.
Okay. You think that they're going to be hitting the wet stage in a few years?
No.
Okay. All right. That's all.
Never considered.
And that's not a knock. I just, you know.
No, not a consideration.
When I think about Bonnaroo first timers, I do in the back of my mind wonder if we're going to see them again and how we're going to see them again. I like this idea of like when we saw, as much as we dogged on Bozzy a little bit earlier, we saw him on the that tent, right? We saw him on that tent and maybe, just maybe, in back of my head, maybe he's on the witch stage 1 year.
Sure.
Dua Lipa last year, like 2 year, 2 years ago, rather.
Moon Taxi, we've talked about. I mean, they're the classic example.
Yeah, Black Keys.
Small to big.
Imagine if you saw the first Black Keys show at Bonnaroo.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that, but I really didn't even consider that in this case.
That's okay. And it's very pretty. It's very pretty. I feel like I'll be doing some sort of yoga.
She has... That is a component of her music. She has an album that has yoga in the title.
Right.
If I remember right.
You know, it's very Deepak Chopra for me. It's very Deepak Chopra.
You know, I've come away from Bonnaroo with a couple of, I call them Sunday morning acts that are good. Bahamas would be probably the top of my list.
I like that.
I left there after seeing him, and now, I mean, for the next year, every Sunday morning, that's what I was listening to.
Mine is usually 60 Soul, but I very much pick up your point. That's really a good idea. Back to the comments for Bonnaroo first timers. This one from Kevin. Explore the campgrounds. These are his Bonnaroo tips. Explore the campgrounds on Wednesday night or any night. Walk around GA and meet people. You'll stumble upon people playing instruments, drum circles, and all kinds of fun. As a leader in group camping, we love to meet people to stop by and see us and play games with us, hang out, and come to our beer exchange. Oh, yeah, they're doing the beer exchange, which, by the way, we've got to we got to come to this year. We've heard a lot of beer exchange invites.
There are a lot of things that we need to experience
for
the first time this year that we have missed.
Yeah, so we know that the Bonnaroo people are listening. We've got a lot on our list. We need some sort of, I don't know, transportation, if you could do that for us. Who do you think we're talking to right now? Anybody at AC? Hello?
We'll reach out.
Can we get some transportation, please? Okay. All right. I've got another Bonnaroo first-timer. I think I've brought them up before, but honestly, it was one of my favorite albums of the entire year last year. And when the lineup came out, this was the first name that I gravitated towards. It was the first name, and I said, yes. There are so many artists that I wanted to be on the lineup that we just missed. I love the Eamon Dunes album last year. It breaks my heart a little bit that he's not going to be at Bonnaroo. I loved Cautious Clay. I wish they would have found a slot for him. And then I love Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever. Rolling Blackout's just caught me completely off guard and surprised. I love this album so much. So I know it's a little genre bending. It's not necessarily garage punk, and I know it doesn't sound like what you would expect, you know, like a Parquet Courts or something like that, but, you know, they just do guitars so well. They write such great poppy riffs with guitars that I absolutely just love, love, love. And that's not even the best song in the album. Talking Straight's even better. It just goes from one banger after another, over and over and over.
Good stuff.
That's going to be a really, really fun. I believe they're on Thursday. Dude, they're every bit of a Thursday headliner for me.
Late night? You think they're a late night kind of
band? I think they're in Courtney Barnett's slot somewhere at 9 o'clock, if I had to guess. I'm not a schedule guy. There's better people that do the schedule pontification than I am.
You know, that Sunday, 3 o'clock afternoon kind of feel when we hear some of it. To me, they sound like a late night kind of.
Yeah, they're going to be a lot of fun.
Sunday evening.
We have a special guest coming up a little bit later on the show for Bonnaroo first timers. But we want to talk to you each and every week. We want to talk to a different listener of the What Podcast, not only to say thank you, but also just to connect with Bonnaroovians. So this week, who reached out to us, by the
Dustin.
Way? Dustin. All right. Now tell me Dustin's story.
Dustin lives in Louisiana. He wrote us a nice note saying basically that last year was his first time, and he has pestered his coworkers and friends and family ever since. All he can talk about is Bonnaroo.
All right.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Sounds like us every day of the week. Hey, Dustin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing amazing. That's Barry. I'm Brad. Do you have the fever yet, Dustin? Do you have the Bonnaroo fever?
I have the fever.
I have the fever.
88 days.
Is that what it is?
Oh, man. Count down.
No kidding. All right, so inside 100 days means, you know, things start to get serious and we start to reflect on years past, and we start to plan for this year. What about you? How does your schedule usually go when it comes? By the way, how many Bonnaroos have you been to, Dustin?
Just the one last year.
Okay. All right, so let's start with your initial ideas to what Bonnaroo was before you went.
Well, I just thought it was a place to go camp and just watch music.
That's it. Yeah.
I didn't realize how big it was, how many people were going to be there, and then what all that entailed.
Yeah,
and that it was 24 hours, and not just when the music was and when it wasn't.
Yeah, let me jump on that question because I was thinking about that. I remember preparing for my first one and being intimidated and scared and frightened because I don't camp.
Yeah.
So it was like, how am I going to survive 4 days or whatever? And I probably overpacked and overthought, I had every contingency that I thought so anyway. And we've kind of settled into it. What was that like for you? First of all, where are you from?
I'm from Louisiana, down by Baton Rouge.
So you're used to the heat.
I wasn't that worried about the heat, but I still definitely overpacked and overplanned. I tried to have every single thing because I didn't want to leave the site once I got there. And because it was my first time, I wasn't actually sure how easy it was to leave and get back,
Yeah, it's really not. In general admission or general camping, you can't really leave and come back, can you?
I don't think so. I didn't because I had everything here. I didn't attempt to.
All right, so I like this idea. What was the dumbest thing that you brought the first year?
Well, I'd have to say probably the grill. I thought I needed a propane tank grill, and I brought it, and then I was just on the move and on the go so much I didn't use it. And then the one time I forced myself to use it was I didn't even want to. I was like, well, I brought this thing, I should probably use it, and it was more of a hassle than I wanted it to be.
Yeah, you almost feel like you have to use it because you brought it. That's exactly right. And it goes down into Bonnaroo lore that if you had to tell a first timer, the one thing that you need to not worry about is food.
Yeah.
I mean, the dumbest idea is to bring a grill. We did the same thing. First time I went, grill, had the food ready to go, and all I wanted was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
The only time, Brad, I can remember us being glad someone brought a grill was the guy who made Eggs Benedicts for us.
Yeah, he made scrambled eggs for us one morning.
No, it was Eggs Benedict.
I don't mind other people your neighbors bringing the grill. That's fine.
That's fine by me, yeah. I'm not doing any work. You got any mind?
Yeah, this year I'm not bringing that. I'm bringing just bread, chips, lunch meat, and then anything that's easy on the go, because that's all I was doing anyway. It was just grab and go.
That's right. All right, so You learn a few things in the first year. Now, preparing for this year, how are you switching it up? How are you changing other than decreasing the amount of food?
Well, I'm also – so last year I had a tent and a canopy over the tent, and then I actually had another canopy with like a mosquito net around it. I'm going to probably downgrade some of that this year. With all the rain and stuff, both those canopies collapsed on me anyway.
Really?
They don't really drain the water that well. They kind of pull together and then collapse over my tent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm bringing more shoes this year. I only brought one pair last year, and that was a mistake. We need multiple shoes.
Very smart tip right there. And I'll give you, and not just multiple shoes, shower shoes. Don't sleep on the shower shoes. Those really terrible, cheap $5 things from Walmart, they're perfect.
Yeah, just leave them there.
Just leave them. I get a new pair every year.
Yeah, and speaking of shower shoes, I would definitely suggest using the showers that they have on site during like the happy hour kind of times. There's nobody in there.
No, don't tell them that, Dustin. You're giving away your secret.
Well, all right.
Some things we hold close.
Don't go during happy hour.
Yeah. Yeah. There are bees. There are bees in the shower during happy hour. Don't you remember that?
I remember the first year, Chacos were all the big thing because they posted don't wear like flip flops because if it rains you're gonna step in mud and you're gonna leave your shoes.
Dude,
behind,
I don't like the idea. And all the girls at our campsite wear the Chacos. I don't understand how they do it, dude. There's nothing I want less than dirt on my feet.
You know, the best decision I made was after about 4 years of fighting that, just bringing a comfortable pair of tennis shoes.
Yeah.
For some reason, I didn't think that was going to work, and that they'd get dirty or filthy. And now I'm like, man.
I don't care.
Good shoes.
Yeah.
I can always get new shoes.
Yeah, and socks, man. Socks
is a good
lots
one.
And lots of socks. Because
I forget.
Yeah, because frankly, I want to walk around camp with socks on, and maybe those easy to slip on shoes. easiest slip on flip flops, really, the shower shoes. Just something to get me from point A to point B.
Right.
Yeah, if you lay down tarp over your whole campsite, it's fine walking on it with socks. It feels great.
Or indoor outdoor carpeting.
Yeah, we have 600 square feet of carpeting. Yes.
That works too.
We bring a lot of grass carpet. That's Camp Nut Butter style. Now, I will say back to the shower thing is, and this doesn't necessarily, I can give away this trade secret, where we camp, dude, the best shower of the day is 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, you really don't want to because you get back to camp and you want so badly to go to bed, but no. Just do it. Just do the 3-4 o'clock shower. It is the best possible time. The water's gotten a chance to replenish and get hot again. Oh, man, it's perfect. There's nobody ever in there.
You sleep better because you're clean.
Yes, always sleep better. I do not. I'll tell you, biggest argument me and the lady got into ever was because back in the day, I got so irritated with her because she didn't wash her feet before she goes to bed. Drives me crazy. Man. Drives you crazy. Especially with a cat in the house, I'm constantly concerned that there's litter on my feet. So washing your feet before you go to bed in my house is a problem. Imagine what it's like at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
That's a good one.
You better wet nap those.
Yeah, definitely bring baby wipes.
Baby wipes and a gallon. I bring a gallon or a 3-gallon jug of water for washing.
Dumbest thing I brought because I didn't know how. I'm very particular about brushing my teeth. I brush my teeth 4, 5, 6 times a day. I'm obsessed with it. So I didn't know how I was going to brush my teeth. So what I did is I got one of those miniature paint cans. Those plastic paint fit mixers from Ace Hardware, and I would fill it with water, and I would swish around my toothbrush as if that was any different than any other container that I could have used.
Right, you thought it through. That's what I mean. We overthink these things.
So dumb.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Yeah, you got to buy something. I have to buy something.
I have to buy something. Look what I got, guys. Yeah. I got this really great idea of how to brush my teeth. Didn't work. It was so stupid.
It can't be just a plastic cup.
And guess what? I have lost so much camping equipment through the years. Guess what I keep finding every year?
That bucket.
I can find that bucket before I can find a tent, before I can find a tarp. Nonstop. I can find that stupid bucket.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. So how about go back to, so we leave camp. We leave the ideas of what you thought Bonnaroo was the first year. When did you finally feel comfortable on the farm? At what point did you, I guess you got there on Thursday. What point throughout the weekend did you say, okay, I finally can let go here?
I showed up late Wednesday night. Got in as early as I could.
Good move.
And finally, I got everything, got the camp all situated before the sun came up. And then started exploring a little bit. And then that next day, the music started, and instantly I let go. As soon as the music starts.
You felt that quick of a connection. That's cool. to let go of all your inhibitions, fears, concerns. It was that quick.
Yeah. Well, as soon as I get there, you start to look around at all the people around you, and then they're just acting all crazy, and it's like, I might as well be like that too, you know, and I just kind of let go.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, no one's going to judge you for anything that you do or anything like that, so I just let go.
It took you 5 hours.
Me too, though. So.
It took you 5 hours. It took me 5 years.
Really?
Oh, 5 years before I really felt
uptight.
I'm uptight about very specific things. Heat, bugs, dirt. This is not the world for me. That's why when I tell people that I do this every year, especially people that don't know how big of a Bonnaroo guy I am, when I tell them what I do, they just, their mouth is agape.
Yeah, I get
you
the same.
You do what?
I get the same. As we've said here many times, it's the only time of the year I camp. Mm-hmm. I just don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, all that whole, but again, if you make it comfortable, I think to the part of that, Dustin, for me, is as soon as we get out of the car in the parking lot and everyone just starts saying hello and shaking hands and introducing themselves, you know you're in a different place.
Right. There's a moment in our drive. I don't know what your drive is like, but there's a moment in our drive, and because we take a specific way every year, and Barry, we try to caravan together with some other people, there's a moment in our drive when it hits me.
Yeah.
Now, it took me 5 years to get there, but ever since then, that moment at the top of the hill as we come down Mont Eagle, yeah, there is a moment that hits me every year, and it sends chills down my spine just thinking about it. That's when I know I'm at Bonnaroo.
Yeah, part of the reason for that, too, is you can pick up the Bonnaroo station on Sirius XM, so you get to start listening.
I didn't even know that. I thought you meant the local one. You know, not
that
even the local
one, too. Whatever I pick up, I start listening to music and interviews and stuff. So, yeah, and it's a beautiful drive.
It's a beautiful drive. No, I mean, we go through, like, our Bonnaroo playlist. We listen to like, stuff that we, you know, might have put on a playlist. But, dude, frankly, I could listen to nothing. I roll the windows down on that drive. It's nothing but farmland on both sides because we take a back road to get there. It is absolutely perfect, and it soothes your soul. You know exactly... Yep. You know exactly the feeling when you get there.
Out and you get in the parking lot, you pop a beer, and everyone's having a good time already.
Yep, already. We're just sitting in the parking lot just waiting to get in.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling. All right, so.
And let me ask Jessica, because in your note that you sent, and we're going to talk some more about all the emails we've been getting, and thank you to everybody that sends them, but you said you basically keep pestering all your friends and family, right, talking about Bonnaroo.
Oh, yeah. I work in a kind of small office, and all they do is hear about Bonnaroo and Bonnaroo this, and oh, you know who's going to be playing at Bonnaroo this year? This guy, and I just keep talking about it. I'm sure they're being very nice about it, but I'm sure they're definitely tired of hearing about it. So then, every now and then, I just put my headphones on and listen to y'all's podcast, and that kind of helps get my Bonnaroo fix.
Man,
I'm the same way. I feel like I'm constantly. Hey, have I mentioned that I go to Bonnaroo?
Dude, there is not... you just made me realize how many times I say when somebody brings up an artist, I say, yeah, I saw him at Bonnaroo.
Exactly.
That is so annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so obnoxious.
I've become that guy. Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah.
I
love blankety blank. Oh, I love blankety blank. Yeah, I saw him at Bonnaroo. Shut up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about last year. Who did you see that you loved? Who did you see that you were shocked by? Who did you discover? Who were you disappointed by?
Well, I discovered, the person that I discovered and fell in love with was Jade Bird from last year.
Yeah.
I had never heard of Jade Bird, and I saw in the lineup, looked at some of her songs, and enjoyed it. So then I went to see her live, and she just put on such a great show. Yeah. Surprised by, I would say, Eminem. I had never been to a rap show before. I was like, hey, it can't be that entertaining, you know, just a guy rapping on, like, walking back and forth on the stage, right? But that show there, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else I had discovered, and thanks to you guys, I think partially, is the War and Treaty.
Absolutely. Thank you.
God, I fell in love with them. Absolutely fell in love with them.
Yeah, they're amazing. St. Paul and the Broken Bones, I had never heard of them.
Wow. Okay.
That was a
They're
good
awesome.
One.
That's a good group.
Yeah, now, Paul almost falling off the carpet, right? That was a lot of fun.
That was good for him. I'll tell you, look, let me say something that we might have talked about before. And the reason we don't necessarily focus too much on hip hop with this show, mainly A, that's not necessarily our lane, but B, I can probably count on one hand how many quality hip-hop shows have actually been to Bonnaroo. For some reason, they just don't work. They don't translate. They don't sound good. From all accounts, the Eminem show sounded phenomenal. I think Snoop sounded really great in 2011. But boy, you go to like, what was it, T-Pain last year? That was an absolute train wreck. I mean, I remember Big Boy being a disaster. Ludacris sounded terrible. I mean, time and time again... And I'll even say this. I know we shouldn't be talking about him, but the R. Kelly sounded really good. There are so many hip-hop shows that just don't work at Bonnaroo, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about it.
Well, you know, you said that. I think I told you I looked up and found a Little Dicky performance live, and I was really looking forward to seeing him after hearing his recorded
stuff.
Talk
about a Bonnaroo first-timer, and there you go.
And now I'm like, I'm going to go and see it.
Yeah,
but I'm no. I don't think it's going to be a great
look. I want to see.
Oh man, I was pretty excited for him.
I could be wrong.
I'm excited about Lil Dicky. I'm very excited about Lil Dicky. But I mean, look, that act is going to wear thin at some point. I don't know when it's going to hit. Maybe it'll take over and it'll be a terrific show. Maybe I'll be.
I hope so.
I'll change
I'm
my
not
mind.
Trying to be.
But
ugly.
I'm there for Pillow Talk. I'm there for pillow talk. That's all I care about. Yeah. I want a pillow talking with a bitch. That's what I want. I just want that in my life. Just one time. Okay?
It's hilarious.
There are no Ubers around here. I love that song so much. All right. So that was last year. What about this year? What's on your docket so far? What are you planning?
So one of the lineup from top to bottom is I'm thoroughly enjoying getting a lot of new artists such as AJR. I had never heard of them at all, and I've really been playing them the most so far.
Wow, there you go.
I'm excited about good call, Carlisle.
Good call on AJR. They're our guest today.
Yeah, that's who we just talked to. We just talked to Adam from AJR. Yeah. I'm really, really excited about some very strange artists this year. Very strange that I'm into. And Brandi Carlile's one of them. We're going to talk, I'll bring up another one here in a second, but Brandi Carlile is not an artist. Casey Musgraves in that sort of angle.
Absolutely.
Like, I would not normally be into this, but for some reason, that just makes sense for my weekend. Right, Brandi Carlile makes so much sense for my weekend, especially how great that album is, man. That album is so good.
Yeah. I'm really excited about both of those, and I'm excited about seeing John Prine, who I would not pick as a Bonnaroo act. But
I've been trying to see John Prine for a long time and haven't been able to, and so I'm really glad he's at Bonnaroo this year.
Yes, and I don't want to be morbid here, but go see him.
Yep, absolutely.
Now.
Yeah, no,
now,
kidding.
Yeah. Don't sleep on this one. Don't sleep on this one.
That's what makes Bonnaroo great too. Is that like looking at the lineup, like right next to each other, there's Gucci Mane and John Prine. Where else are you going to see those two names together on one lineup?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's the 2019 Rat Pack. Those two hanging out.
Yeah, they'll be hanging out.
Hanging a lot. All right. So this has been a episode of Bonnaroo First Timers, and we appreciate you talking about your first time story. What would your tip be to a first timer? What would you try to say to them if you had one thing to say?
I saw on Reddit the other day there was a meme, and it was a picture of a tent that said, "Sorry for the things that I said when we were setting up the tent."
Yeah. Yeah.
So that just got me thinking. I'm like, what? You've paid money to go to Bonnaroo. You made it to Bonnaroo. You're finally there. It's happening. Why are you getting mad while setting up stuff? Like, I guess some things are gonna happen. You just learn to like let go. Like, I ended up losing my phone at some point during Bonnaroo, and that was very unfortunate. But at some point, I just had to say, you know, let it go. Like, it's not gonna make things any better by like festering on that bad thing that happened. Just, you know, you got to keep moving. So I guess just don't let little things bother you and ruin your weekend. You know?
Yeah. Two things about that. One is, for me, things like that just become part of a good story for later, you know, so you just kind of file them away. But another one of our listeners sent in, I thought, a great tip. Change your phone, your security screen to include your name and a friend's phone number.
Oh, see, that's a fine idea. I don't like that because I've created an idea. Maybe I got this from someone. I can't claim that I got this, but it struck me in the middle of the night one night. And if this is somebody else's idea and I just happened to stumble upon it and I don't remember, then so be it. But take the schedule, screenshot the schedule for the day and make that your lock screen. Make that your lock screen.
That way
you don't drain your battery every time opening your phone looking at the schedule.
Yeah.
If you forget your paper, you're in the paper schedule and you don't have it, or they don't give it to you anymore, use your lock screen and change the photo every morning.
That's not bad. But this was in case you lose your phone. Because, like, you found a phone. Remember, we returned it to a guy on Sunday, and it took us a while.
Right. I, that day, was a hero.
Yeah, I was really shocked.
I was a hero that day. I was Mariah Carey.
Went through some extra effort.
I went through effort.
That's the part that really...
Mariah Carey was singing in the background. I was a hero, Barry.
But yeah, I think we had to call like the kid's dad and at home, and then they had to call. And
I'm so glad that you camp with me, because I do not even remember that.
Yeah, it was a thing. Because I think his parents were divorced, and so they called the mom. Yeah, it was a big deal. It took a while. So this girl's point is, if it had a phone number of somebody who was camping with her, we would have called them. And anyway.
Yeah, all right.
It was a thing. And you did good, Brad. I was proud for you.
Oh, man, I can't even remember the one good thing I've done in my life. The one has gone right past me. That's a really great piece of advice, Dustin. Let go. I mean, that is essentially the tip that I would give too. If I had to tell you one thing, I would say whatever your biggest holdup in life is, use Bonnaroo as a way to attack it. Mine is usually neuroses and control. I got too much of a control freak. Once I realize how to let go 5 years in, and the way that I could let go by, you know, making camp as goofy as possible, making it as comfortable as possible, figuring out the shortcuts from here to there, how to survive with food, how to survive with water, and some other things. Once I realized all that, it took me a while, but once I realized that, I was comfortable enough to let go, and everything changed. Yeah. Everything changed. So it's a great piece of advice.
That was a mistake I made last year, too, speaking of schedule. Like, I get the schedule printed out. I got everything circled I want to go see. I'm like, okay, I need to be at the wet stage at 4:15. Okay, it's 4:11. We gotta go. But I want to hear the song. Yeah, but the schedule. We have to be over there now.
Yeah, definitely.
And then by the end of day one, I'm like, let's just go. Let's just kind of be greedy and stop worrying about the schedule so much and just kind of go where the music takes you.
If nobody at camp is more exhausted than the schedule guy.
Yeah.
If you live and die by a schedule, you're gonna wear yourself out.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. And my thing is, Part of the reason that I like it, we say this over and over and over, there's nowhere else to go. So you don't have to worry about traffic.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about hitting red lights, you know, that make you're in a hurry, you're tense, and now you're hitting every red light.
Right. Your go-to statement here, and it's something that I make fun of you behind your back, but your go-to line on this show is, the thing I love about Bonnaroo is... you're there. You say that so often, and that's exactly what you mean by it, though. You don't have anywhere else to go. I know what you mean by it, but it always cracks me up when you say,
"All right,
well, you're there." Well, no shit, Barry. No kidding.
I thought it was I'm tickled to death.
Tickled to death is good one, too.
That's you make fun good. Of me to my face
you,
with that.
You've got some good catchphrases, I'll tell you that. All right, Dustin. Well, man, I can't wait to meet you at the farm. Can't wait to see you at Bonnaroo. And good luck planning, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
And he was talking about Dustin, very nice, on the What Podcast, the whatpodcast.com. Now, he talked about an artist that he's really excited about being Brandi Carlile. Brandi Carlile, if I'm not mistaken, Bonnaroo first-timer. I don't remember her ever being there, and if she was, she was in a cafe act or something.
Right, I don't remember.
But
I don't think so.
But one of my Bonnaroo first-timer picks is a young woman who wouldn't necessarily be in my lane. She's not somebody I necessarily would care about, but I'm sort of into these country pop crossover girls that aren't named Taylor Swift.
Right.
You know, I really like the Kacey Musgraves.
Yeah,
that
me too.
High Horse is a great song. I really like the Brandi, love the Brandi Carlile album.
Absolutely.
And the one that I keep coming back to, the one that is not necessarily being talked about as much as Brandi Carlile and Kacey Musgraves, one of my Bonnaroo first-timer picks, Maren Morris. You know, you may not know who she is, but she's selling out everywhere. Yes. Everywhere she goes, she sells out, and she's going to be one of these girls that crosses over into the pop world and is going to be a megastar. She is going to be a megastar.
She would have been one of my picks, too, but you had already picked her, so...
Oh, did I beat you? Love it.
Yeah. She's love great. It. Terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she was one of those names we pulled during the very first one we did this year, I think.
Really? I don't remember.
It seems like that... Wasn't she the one you said, who is this? I can't wait
to find
out.
No, that was Donna Missal.
Right. You're right.
Donna Missal, I've actually gone back and listened to.
It's good.
Woo!
Yeah, it's really, really
Watch
good.
Watch the hell out, man.
Yeah.
She has got a sound that is, exactly where I am.
Yeah, it's great. It's really true.
But Maren Morris, she's teeny tiny. Think of a country Hayley Williams. There's a thread this year I'm starting to find with these Nashville women that I think that they're being very, very particular about placing and booking. Maren Morris,
yeah.
Kacey Musgraves, Brandi Carlile. You got Paramore's Hayley Williams out in the campgrounds. I gotta imagine, boy, just think about this. Brandi Carlile's already done a duet with Hayley Williams, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, at a tour stop in Nashville. You got Maren Morris, Casey Musgraves, and Brandi Carlile. What if you put them all on the same stage? What if that just happens to be something that happens in the campground?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Something feels like it's just all tied together too much for it not to happen.
Yeah, I hope so. We say that every year. You know, we do know for a fact that Bonnaroo's relationship with Nashville is something they're actively trying to increase.
They're being very cognizant about it, sure.
Very intentional between, you know, the limo rides and shuttles and, or shuttles, not limo rides, but booking all of that. So,
yeah, so you
got us.
Yeah, it's really good. And now they move CMA Fest the week before.
Right. Exactly.
Maren Morris is married to Ryan Hurd, who's a country singer-songwriter. There's just something that I keep coming back to. There's a reason why they put the Grand Ole Opry on Thursday.
I think
that there's a reason. And if I had to guess, it's because CMA Fest is right there in the weekend before, and you can get them on the back end of their trip. If you've got country artists that are traveling in and out of Nashville, if you stay a couple more days, you can get Thursday at Bonnaroo. Maybe I'm being wide-eyed and naive here, but I just got this feeling that Grand Ole Opry show Thursday is going to be a blowout.
I have to believe there's a reason that they moved the dates. I mean, they did it intentionally, that the two working together made the decision.
So. And again, I'm going to add three little words. Grand Ole Opry with special guests.
Yeah.
My bet is they don't know who they got, but they're going to get somebody, and they're going to get plenty. Maren Morris, Casey Musgraves, they all make total sense. Hayley Williams even makes sense with that Grand Ole Opry, to be honest with you. I can see her doing country. I could see Miley Cyrus popping down for a minute. I know I'm being crazy.
Yeah, I love when you do this.
This is my wide-eyed naivete taking over right now.
We all thought Nashville folks were going to come down and join Lionel Richie a couple of years ago because it made sense.
Well, didn't we get Kenny?
He did his own show.
I thought Kenny jumped in with Lionel Richie that year.
I remember I boycotted the show because I was an idiot.
Yeah, you were a fool. Total fool. Well, all right. Now, your first time. Give me another first timer that you want to focus on, Barry Corbin.
I have a theme here.
Okay.
I found several picks.
Okay.
And I'm not exactly sure how to say her first name here. It's either Diva or Deva Mahal.
Okay.
She is Taj Mahal's daughter.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's really, really good.
It gets better, too.
There are several
songs that I could have chosen.
Really good.
Yeah.
I mean, that is Sharon Jones and Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they birthed a beautiful Hawaiian baby. That's really good.
Going to be my Warren Treaty. This year, I think. I hope.
When you said, I will be honest with you, I rolled my eyes when you said Taj Mahal. I just know your love affair with Taj Mahal, and it is just so weird. But that, so be it. That's fine. But
that's good. Isn't
she's
it?
Really, really good. Yeah, I like her a lot. You give me that on a 3 o'clock afternoon? Yeah.
Yep.
I'll play with that for a minute.
Yep.
All right. So we've talked to Adam from AJR. We've talked to our friend Dustin, a listener of the podcast. If you want to drop us a line, thewhatpodcast.com, we'd love to hear from you. We want to try and talk to a different listener each and every week. Don't know what we're going to talk to you about next week, but we'll figure it out. So drop us a line, thewhatpodcast.com or the_what_podcast on Twitter. And please, if you could, rate and review the podcast. I know that sounds like I'm shilling a product, and I hate asking for things like this, but it really does help. It helps you find the podcast. It helps new people find the podcast. It helps us spread the Bonnaroo love. Yeah, it would be very nice of you. And, you know, I've got nothing to give you except for maybe Bonnaroo tickets if you can help us out. You know, I got Bonnaroo tickets to give away. TheWhatPodcast.com. Last week, we talked to our friends Repeat Repeat, Jared and Kristen from Repeat Repeat. Now, nobody has quickly found their way into our lives like Repeat Repeat. And I was having a conversation with him the other day, and it hit me. He is going to be Bonnaroo royalty for several hundred people, maybe for the rest of his life, because of what they did last year. On Wednesday night, they go out to Rue Bus and they play what everybody describes as just an absolute banger right there at Rue Bus, right? I hate that we missed it. It really bums me out, but they still talk about it. Rue Bus still posts about it. And I think for the several hundred people, maybe 1,000 people on the Reddits and the InfoRoos, they're going to always appreciate what Repeat Repeat did.
Yeah.
And just like you guys appreciate them for that, we appreciate them for just being so open and so willing and so able to talk anytime and every time. So what we decided to do is give them a call back and talk about Bonnaroo first timers because they made big, big news this week. They made major news. Did you see the big announcement?
I didn't. They did what?
Remember last week? Last week he said...
Were you right?
Well, let me just go back. So they said they had something very, very big to up their sleeves and they were going to announce. And I wrote down on a piece of paper what?
That they would be touring with the Black Keys.
That was my guess.
That was your guess.
I had no insider information.
That is correct.
They announced this week a tour with the Black Keys.
Yeah, there you go.
A tour with the Black Keys.
So that's why you're a pro.
They're going to do select dates, including, and when I talked to Jared about this, he was over the moon excited. They're doing Nashville. They're playing the Bridgestone Arena with Modest Mouse and Black Keys in their home city.
Good for them.
That's so cool, man. They've cool.
Good for them.
Yeah.
They're the nicest people. And talented.
They're so nice.
We almost leave that out.
We forget that part every time, but the show is so, so fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
Jared, Kristen, Hi, I'm Waiting is blowing up. You guys have had a great week. You're at South by Southwest. And now you want to give us your Bonnaroo First Timers list. Thanks for joining us for now a third time on the Bonnaroo podcast. You're almost becoming like Abe Vigoda on the Conan O'Brien and Conan O'Brien show back in the day.
It's repeat, repeat, repeat.
Yeah, it's like Saturday Night Live. Do I get some sort of like six timers jacket?
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Well, we're here. It's hot, and you know we're surrounded by asphalt here in Austin at South by. So we are dreaming of the farm, and we wanted to share some of our tips for first timers at Bonnaroo. So one of our first ones is if it starts to rain, consider your tires. We have so many stories with us and our band getting covered in mud, trying to get vehicles out of the mud. You know, buy a full body poncho. They're highly recommended because otherwise you'll be getting mud in the van.
Okay. That's a good first start.
Number two, we said expect to share. If you're not good at sharing, you better leave that shit at the door and expect to share while you're at Bonnaroo, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That's a great
and,
one.
That is a really good one.
That means anything. Sharing socks. Sharing booze, sharing water, sharing weed, share it all. Next one, go see Camp Nut Butter because they are the nicest people and you can't miss their sign and go take a selfie at the Nut Butter sign.
Okay, all right, good. They're going to have to be escorted in with Jared and Kristen. I don't know if everybody can get to it.
I'm glad you mentioned sign. I'm glad you mentioned Jared because every time I see the Bonnaroo poster, I just get a little tingly in the skillet because they that dripping butter, have you noticed it's on the top of their poster this year?
It's so sensual. I love it.
Yeah, they took it right off a Camp Nut Butter sign. So that's another good one. All right, what's number four?
Okay, number four is thank the staff at Bonnaroo. They work really hard and they are amazing. And they sometimes will give you little perks if you thank them too. You never know. Maybe they'll let you into the Camp Nut Butter area if you thank them.
Especially, if you're sharing the right things, you might just be able to get back.
They are really good at accommodating, and they basically operate at a nonstop hustle for, you know, the week that you're there plus all of the week leading up to. So you realize that when you're around the staff that they've got, you know, an uphill battle the whole time.
Well, they have the same sort of motto and attitude as you guys. It's always more yes than no.
All right,
we got two more.
Okay.
Go to things like the Red Aroo Craft Beer Exchange.
Yes.
And the Aroo Bus Party. Both are in the campsites, and both are just really community, like, fun things to do. And, at the Red Aroo Craft Beer Exchange, you'll get free beer. You can bring beer. You can share beer. It's really wonderful and wild.
Which, by the way, you guys brought your own beer last year. How did that shandy turn out? Is the shandy still going?
The shandy's usually going in the summer months. Actually, there's a couple of venues in the state of Georgia that are serving it on tap. And if you're ever near Atlanta, go to Pontoon Brewing Company. They usually keep it on tap as well. And we may or may not, this is the first mention of it in public ears, but we may or may not have a glazed beer coming out around the time of our record, so it'll be very fun.
Nice. We love breaking news here.
That's a big breaking news item right there.
Yeah, I mean, this is airing live on air, right?
So live, yeah.
So the last thing I would say is stay the whole time. Go to the Sunday night. You never know what you're going to see. The Sunday night shows are really fun because I feel like the smaller bands have a lot to prove. I know because I've been one. You know, I think it's where all the, like, diehard Bonnaroovians are. And
it's like the last night of camp.
Yeah.
You don't really want to cut it short. You should should do it.
That's a good tip, and I can speak to that because I stayed for the entire time last year for the first time. I always would go home early on Sunday, and it was a lot of fun. The Thursday, as we've said many times here, Thursday is Discovery Day. That's when the bands that you maybe never heard of can become your favorites. And then Sunday night is, like you said, Kristen, it's sort of the last day of camp, so it's a different vibe altogether.
Yeah, it's a perfect cap to a really fun weekend.
Right.
They're good tips. They're very, very good tips. Maybe, just maybe, if somebody finds their way back to Camp Nutbutter this year and shares properly and gets to the proper campsite, maybe, just maybe, they'll stumble into a camping repeat with the people of Camp Nutbutter. Maybe, just maybe, they're joining our campsite this year.
It would not be a surprise to see us at Bonnaroo, that's for sure.
That's good.
We're hard to miss, too, because I really only have about 12 pairs of striped shirts.
Yes.
And, Kristen dyes her hair with melted cotton candy, so it's kind of hard to miss us in the crowd.
Brad, I thought you were going to say maybe if they came back to Camp Nutbutter, we would launch their career.
Again? Okay, yeah, sure.
But whoever, not you guys, no, whoever is, gets back there, maybe we can't promise a career launching, but we'll do our best.
We'll do our best.
I feel like we should pass the baton to someone.
I'm thinking next year, pass the baton to some new artist that's headlining Bonnaroo. I don't know, Dolly Parton. Yeah. Maybe, just maybe.
We'll send you a list.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, there you go. The What Podcast. Barry Corder, Brad Steiner, we appreciate you stopping by and joining us on our little chat through Farm of Bonnaroo. TheWhatPodcast.com for Bonnaroo tickets, camping passes. Anything else, Barry? Good picks today.
Yeah.
Very good picks.
Doing well. I told you, I was excited about this show. I like it.
I like
good
it a
guests,
lot.
Good topics.
Yes, this is a lot of fun. And of course, you can always drop us a line and feel free to reach out to us anytime, thewhatpodcast.com or at Brad Stinks on Twitter. What are you at,
man? Barry JC.
Barry JC. Talk to you next week.
BARYJC. Hey,
hey, hey, hey. How y'all feeling? Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year? That matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.